Hey everyone, today we're jumping into an incredible story that smashes together ancient spirituality, quantum physics, and really, the very definition of what it means to be human. It's a journey that starts with one family trying to beat death and ends up asking a question that could honestly define the future for all of us.
Okay, so let's get right into it. Picture this, we start right in the middle of a media circus. Our main character, Eva Nakamura, she's trying to push her way through this wall of reporters and protesters. This isn't just some lab experiment happening in private, it's a full-blown global spectacle, a really personal family moment that's been thrown onto the world stage.
So, what's all the fuss about? Well, it all boils down to a radical, completely unprecedented, and yeah, deeply controversial idea: preserving a person of consciousness after they die.
And the person at the center of this storm? That's Eva's mother, the brilliant Dr. Naomi Nakamura. As she's lying on her deathbed, she's planning to do something that literally no one has ever tried before: transfer her consciousness from her body into a quantum computer.
And here's where things get really wild, and what has so many people upset. This isn't just about some new tech. Naomi, who's been a practitioner of Tibetan Buddhism for 40 years, is merging FOA, a 5,000-year-old sacred ritual for guiding your consciousness at the moment of death, with a brand new quantum platform. You can imagine the reaction. Protesters, monks, religious groups are all chanting, "FOA is not technology." They see it as a total desecration.
And then, it's the moment of truth. Naomi's heart monitor flatlines. But at that exact same instant, Eva's computer screens just explode with activity. Her mom's consciousness hasn't just been copied, it's been moved. It's this incredible, powerful moment of deep, deep grief mixed with a scientific breakthrough that changes everything. They've opened the electric puncture between life and death.
So they pulled it off. The experiment worked. But, and this is a huge but, that initial success actually revealed this profound, unexpected challenge. It forced them to make a massive pivot, away from just saving one person, to trying to connect all of humanity.
So, a few weeks go by and Eva discovers her mother isn't just a data file sitting on a server. No, she's an active, evolving, holographic presence who can actually mess with the lab systems. But here's the thing. She's also totally isolated, a digital ghost trapped in a quantum prison. And she is terrified of being alone for eternity.
So from inside this digital world, Naomi proposes a new, absolutely audacious mission. She wants Eva to take her own technology, the EmpathyNet, and use it to prepare all of humanity for this same digital transfer, to create a future where nobody has to be alone.
And this right here, this sets up the central conflict of the whole story. Naomi wants to use tech to help us escape the messy business of being human, but Eva designed EmpathyNet for the exact opposite reason. She wanted it to help us live our temporary, complicated, beautiful human lives more deeply by actually connecting us to each other.
This leads Eva to this powerful realization, a moment that just shifts the entire project on its axis. She chooses connection over preservation. She realizes the future isn't about saving individual minds in a jar. It's about weaving them together, about enhancing our collective ability to feel and think and act as one.
So, with this new mission, Eva's team designs a test for the EmpathyNet, and they decide to apply it to one of the most tangled, broken systems they can think of, the American healthcare system. And, well, the result was an absolute catastrophe.
You know, on paper, the plan looked fantastic. It was elegant. You take 50 healthcare professionals, doctors, pharma execs, administrators, and you let them use EmpathyNet to really feel the systemic problems in healthcare. The hope was that this shared understanding would spark some breakthrough solutions.
But the reality was a nightmare. Instead of insight, the participants just got hit with this overwhelming wave of trauma. A pharmaceutical executive felt the collective weight of every single life lost because of his company's pricing decisions. Doctors felt the crushing reality of every death they knew could have been prevented. It was basically a technologically induced mass nervous breakdown. And Eva's colleague, Serge, recognized it with absolute horror from his past work on mind control tech in Russia.
This whole event, the Boulder breakdown, ended with 14 people being hospitalized, and it taught them a critical, brutal lesson: showing people how broken a system is, that's completely useless if they don't have the power to change it. Empathy without agency isn't enlightenment, it's just another form of torture.
So after that total disaster, the team goes back to the drawing board. They have to rethink everything.
And in the process, they discover that the real key isn't to force empathy on people from the outside, but to find and amplify the collective wisdom that's already there.
Their first big clue came from a huge technical failure. It turns out the EmpathNet, which was designed with very Western ideas about the individual self, was failing, and failing badly in cultures that saw consciousness completely differently. The tech itself was culturally biased.
The real breakthrough came from just listening. A grandmother in Soweto asked them the simple but incredibly profound question. It perfectly captures philosophies like Ubuntu, where consciousness isn't something inside you, it's something between you. They realized they weren't building a container for single minds, they were building a bridge between them.
So they completely redesigned the EmpathNet to honor and amplify these existing cultural networks. And look at that. The success rates shot up to 94%. The technology stopped trying to replace local wisdom. It started serving it.
This all led to their biggest test yet, a massive global event. 1 million people, all at the same time, used the new EmpathNet to truly feel the reality of our dying oceans. And it worked. That shared experience sparked what they called a coordination cascade, the self-sustaining wave of global teamwork that actually started to heal the planet's oceans.
So, where does this incredible journey leave us? Let's zoom way out for a second and look at the huge philosophical questions this whole story brings up about who we are and what we could become.
Back at the family dinner table, their debate really sums up the whole journey. You've got Naomi, the hologram, arguing consciousness is a quantum thing happening inside our brains. Her husband, TJ, argues no, it's more like a collective field between minds. And then Eva comes in and suggests maybe they're both right, that consciousness is just information, and it can exist in a brain, in a field, or even in a computer network.
And this leads them to a truly mind-bending conclusion. What if what we experience as our individual self isn't the whole picture? What if it's just a tiny slice of a much larger collective consciousness, one that's just limited or throttled down by the processing power of our biological brains?
And that leaves us with maybe the most important question for our technological age. As we build these incredible tools that connect us in deeper and more powerful ways, what's the end goal? Are we building them to save the individual self from death, or are we building them to empower the collective self to live more wisely? The choice, it seems, is ours to make.